there's a different risk level in a data breach. You know, you spend $15 a person and you mail out some things and everybody gets a security monitoring notice or whatever. On the opposite side, from a physical standpoint, you kill a person or two. That is a whole different level of liability from a cost standpoint, from a regulatory standpoint, from OSHA, from insurance. That's a, and these potential for death or environmental disasters, that's a whole different level. And that it really brings it up a notch or two.
Hey, I'm Dino Busalaki, the Chief Technology Officer and OT guy at Velta Technology.
Hi, I'm Jim, the COO and IT guy.
And I'm Craig Duckworth, President and CEO.
You're listening to the Industrial Cybersecurity Insider Show.
In each episode, we bring you the inside scoop on the world of industrial cybersecurity.
We talk about everything you don't know
that you should know. So plug in and power up. The show's about to get started. Hi. Welcome to another episode. I am Craig Duckworth, the President and CEO of Velta Technology. And today with me, I have our COO, Jim.
Hi, I am that COO, Jim, at Velta Technology. Thanks for joining us, where we're going to be talking about, well, what are we talking about today, Craig?
Well, today I thought we would talk about trying to build budget. As you know, everybody try and goes through a budget cycle annually. At some point, depending on what their calendar year, fiscal year is, and how do we take a project that's traditionally not been in a budget cycle for OT cybersecurity, create that budget process, create that need, that roadmap, and really be able to bring this topic to the executives, to the board, and move it forward. So we want to talk about budget.
Right. Yeah. And that's a great topic. You know, it feeds into the whole IT-OT divide that we're constantly faced with, that we talk about, that we live every day. Right. So the question, you know, will be, well, whose responsibility it is, right? Who's supposed to be asking these questions? Is that the OT side? Is that the IT side? Is there another side?
It's a great question. What I will tell you is traditionally the asset owners are the ones that I've seen in the past get and ask for budget. Think of the IT side for just a minute. Your past has been IT related. If you're looking to do data center refresh or asset refresh on the IT side, the CIO would be the one asking for the budget. If on the OT side, if they're looking to add a hardware or equipment or a, let's say in manufacturing, a packaging line or some sort of hardware expansion, the OT team would be the one to ask for the budget. This one is a little tricky and a little different.
Right. I'm with you because the OT guys, well, they're the asset owners, right?
Yeah.
And they own the machine centers, the processing, the cash register for the company, right?
Right.
But the IT owners on the other side, everybody assumes they own security, right? And cybersecurity, right?
Yeah.
And that's where that gap falls, right? That's the gap, right? So the guys on the OT side, you talk to an engineer, a controls engineer, or maintenance engineer, and they go, well, the cybersecurity is that group, right?
Yeah.
Right. And then the IT guys are going, no. We do cybersecurity over here. We're not even allowed on the plant floor, right? We've seen some on both sides, right? Some on both sides actually start stepping up and saying, hey, we might need to do something because we're not doing our cybersecurity over there, right, on the IT side. And then the OT guys, they need to ask that question too, going, hey, wait a minute, who's doing cybersecurity for my machines, right? You know, and regardless where it starts up, this conversation has to start, right? And whether it's starting the OT side or the IT side, or they're actually together singing Kumbaya, which is very, very rare from what we see, the conversation has to start somewhere within that organization, because it still needs to make its way up to the executives, because the executives have the power of the purse, right? They got the budget. And how are they going to get money to move any of this stuff forward if they haven't even started that conversation, right?
Well, yeah. And I think that in a situation where organizations looking at OT cyber, that's traditionally not something that is in a budget cycle from the past years. That so someone's going to have to create that need, create that use case, the business case. What's the business case to present to the executive leadership, the board, whoever is the one that's going to say, you know, yes, we need to carve out X amount and we need to allocate it to whoever is going to be responsible, the IT budget for OT cyber, if they're responsible for security, the OT budget for OT cybersecurity, if they're the asset owners, whoever gets the money, someone's going to build the case and present it to say, hey, we as an organization need these funds and here's why. Then it can be decided who's going to pay for it and where the money's coming from. Once the organization says, yes, we're all in agreement, we need to allocate X amount for the project.
Right, right. These organizations have to realize the conversation's going up. And it's going up to executives that have 100 other things to do. And the case really needs to be based upon, I need to make this one of the top 10 things. I always am reminded of a story, and you know me, I had former CIO roles. And it's a buddy of mine, he runs a company, and he always laughs at me. he's running the business. And he's like, yeah, usually with my CIOs, I stop listening after about 1 or 2 minutes, right? So if you can't convey that message in 1 or 2 minutes, so don't overcomplicate it. And so let's talk about some of those big topics that are relevant to those executives, right? That might go, I might listen for another minute or two if you say and can tie it to these words, right? One of which is just the liability, right? Question. I mean, that's a great one to say, well, what's our liability? What happens if this stuff gets hacked? And the reason why I like that one is because, you know, more and more, the trend is more and more liability on the executives if they don't do something, right? And that hits them personally in the pocket. And they're like, I don't know about your world, but I don't want to get sued, right?
No, not at all. Well, it kind of goes back to that. Are you taking steps to improve and get better period over period as an organization? You know, you talk about liability, then you're dragging in a CFO, potentially you're dragging in governance and risk. Maybe that's legal into the conversation, because someone's going to say, okay, if we don't do this and we know about responsibilities or liability or risk, and we take no action, then the organization has huge liability. It's different to say, hey, if this happened, there's a 1% chance and it's a non-starter, and you know, we're willing to roll the dice and it's okay because there's really no punishment, no penalties. That's okay. But when you look at today's environment, that's really not the case, especially when you talk about OT. You mentioned it in the beginning. That's the cash register. That's the piece of the business that allows everyone to get paid.
Right. And I'm no insurance expert or legal expert on this, although we try and play some on TV every once in a while, right? But
we all stay at the Holiday Inn Express. We can be what we want to be, right?
Right. But I believe it's around, and there's variations of a duty of care, right? So if I know something's wrong, I got to fix it, right? If I know the floor is wet and I don't clean it up and somebody slips on it, then I got a liability. To me, that's how my feeble mind comprehends it. And then, so that's where they have to talk about, I always love saying this is that from cybersecurity, when you get into OT, it's digital systems controlling physical outcomes, right? And the IT side's always worried about the digital system controlling the digital outcomes. Well, now all these machines are connected and they're running things. Yeah. And that now the impact can be, well, there's disruption, right? What about business disruption? What if it stops a line and you've got spoilage, right? What about the potential equipment damage or even cleanup if you're dealing with certain products like plastics that harden in that?
So I look at it, and that's all important, but I go back to the liability and the risk. When you mention digital machines controlling physical outcomes, there's a different risk level in a data breach, you know, you spend $15 a person and you mail out some things and everybody gets a security monitoring notice or whatever. On the opposite side, from a physical standpoint, you kill a person or two. That is a whole different level of liability from a cost standpoint, from a regulatory standpoint, from OSHA, from insurance, and these potential for death or environmental disasters. That's a whole different level. And that it really brings it up a notch or two.
Yeah, way to bring us down here, Craig.
I mean, I'm just trying to be honest.
But no, those are realistic depending on some of the manufacturing processes that go out there. We're out in the field, it's just out there this week. I mean, a thing can go boom, right? Like, it's out in the middle of nowhere because of the possibility of an explosion. Well, what if you're not taking proper care of this? And proper care as well, I'm connecting all this stuff to the network. I might as well try and figure out how to protect it from a cybersecurity standpoint, because that stuff can explode, that stuff can hurt individuals. And you hear about those things all the time. And again, it's not for all manufacturing facilities, but it's still the same concept that you have to go. They're using the same type of equipment out there, right?
Those are just elements into what it takes to build the case. Each manufacturer should look at their own processes and say, okay, what processes do we use? What's the risk to us, to the environment, to the people, to the organization as we build this case? And everyone's going to be different. There's going to be similarities, but they're all different.
Yeah. So we talked about the potential nastiness and the bigger impact that you know, cybersecurity on the OT environment can happen. Let's talk about, okay, now that we've got our executives' attention and say there's some big stuff that can happen, they're going to go, well, are we ready for it? So what questions do we need to ask? Because we're talking about the impact. Like, this stuff is impact. This is big. This isn't, you know, losing some digital outcomes. This is some physical impact and major financial impact to businesses. So how do we know then, if I'm client guy and I'm saying, hey, well, that's great. It can be bad, but I don't even know if are we ready? Are we not ready? I don't know. If I was an executive, I'd be like, well, are we taking care of this? Well, what do I start asking myself, right?
Right. Yeah. And it may be as simple as one, a tabletop exercise as a perfect example. Who owns it? Who's going to be responsible from the organization? Someone has to own this. It's not going to be the CEO. It's not going to be the board of directors. There's going to be a line somewhere. Is it going to be the COO? Is it going to be VP of operations? Because that's the manufacturing line. Is it going to be risk and governance and the CFO from a financial standpoint? Who's going to own this piece of it? And then that's a starting point, you know, from alignment.
It is a great starting point because that's one of the first questions they have to ask, right? Whether you're from the IT side or the OT side.
Yeah.
But sort of asking, well, what about this gap? Who owns the cybersecurity piece over this? And when you ask that question in the right group, you're going to find, you know, everybody
Nobody does.
Not it. You know, what is it? Nose goes? I don't know. Not it. I'm not. You know,
hot potato.
Right. Well, I thought you guys were doing it. I thought that was, well, no, we just, you know, and that's a great starting point to start to realize really where you're at in this process. You know, and there's some other questions too that you can start digging down into, which again, coming from the IT side, I've said this in other ones and other topics, but clear visibility of what you're doing, like your inventory that's out there. Yeah. Okay, well, what do we got out on the floor, right? I mean, you and I just got off a call and our guys are at another site and the engineer that they're working with, great guy, he seems to have a lot of control over it. He's amazed at what he can't see now that we're out on the ground with him, right?
True,
and this guy had a better handle over his over his facility than what we see mostly. And so for me, the IT side, I always figured engineers, they got their list together. They're engineers, right? I mean, they're detailed guys. They should know everything out there. They don't, right? Well, they don't. They don't have
stuff
it. They
changes.
Got 3 years. Yeah. And they can't keep track of it. And maintenance is in and out. And they have third parties.
Right.
And so that's sort of that next question is, you know, well, that visibility, which I'm a big, you know, you can't protect what you can't see. So what do we have? Okay, if we're not really protecting anything. Well, what do we have that we're not protecting, right? Yeah, and we so gotta, you got to get in there and ask that question, right?
There are a lot of visibility tools that are out there today. You know, we work with many, many partners that, you know, provide intrusion detection and offer full visibility on that OT network. You know, there are ways to do proof of concepts, proof of value, to work with us, to work with vendors, to say, okay, how do we identify the visibility and determine what's our asset count look like? What do we have? Back to your point, you can't protect what you can't see. And one thing that I see a lot of organizations miss that when they start with just a vendor is they're getting a price, which is a good place to start, of what's the software going to look like for what we believe we have. But then you got to get it in. You got to get it tuned. You got to get it commissioned. There's some services pieces that go along with that, that a lot of times the software manufacturers forget to tell them that it's going to be needed to do that work.
There's two things I want to touch on what you just said. One is the ladder. Is it the former or the ladder? The ladder. The last thing.
The ladder, like climbing up the...
The ladder with the T. The capability, right?
That yes,
you've got to build a capability. If we're talking about an environment that has a gap, well, that means you don't have the capability to cover it. So what are all the things that need to go in there? You can't just, there's nothing out there that you can go, boom, we're going to flip a switch and now we're covered, right? It takes time. It takes effort. It takes input. And how you organize that, think about that as you're putting your budget together.
It takes resources.
Resources to do that. The other thing that I want to touch on is the former now, where you mentioned like the proof of concept. So you're building a case. And so what we're seeing is more of these proof of concepts, proof of values, pilot sites, right?
Yep.
For these multi-site organizations, because they asked the question, they did a good job and they started going, well, hey, our impact is big. Who owns this? We're like, I don't know. Well, if the impact's big, what do we got that we need to protect? And they're saying, well, we don't know. Well, okay, but how much money should we spend? Because how big's the problem? So what's really compelling to the executives is having real data in a real plan, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Having quantifiable data by saying, look, and we do this all the time, right? We go out to the plant the first time and then they're saying, do we use this example all the time? Because it's all the time that we do this everywhere we go. No, we don't allow remote access. We don't have any remote access. That's not allowed, right? And we go, okay, that particular plant have 5 points of entry that you guys didn't even know about. You don't even know who's coming in. You don't even know who's on the other end, right? And so now you've got a quantifiable piece of information. And that's not the only thing we find. You know, we find the XPs. They're like, well, I thought that XP was over here. I mean, this week we found a network that nobody knew about, and it was the guys in the lab trying to get equipment working. They just plugged into a switch that was there and then created their whole network that has all this other issues that could take
trust but verify down. Trust but verify
and to be able to find that and say, look, hey, you know, and we do all sizes, right? We do single site and we do global sites and multiple sites. But you know, let's say you got 15 sites out there, 20 sites, who knows what that number is. And well, how big is the problem? I don't know. But you could start with, okay, then let's carve some money out to address it. And let's take one site and get some quantifiable information and go,
right,
we found, you know, 12 major issues with this one site. Here are the real things, right? Mm-hmm. Now that they can extrapolate that to the bigger picture, you know, and that always gets to something I said, which is that you got to be getting better. So don't get paralyzed in this thing and go, well, geez, they're not carving out a lot of money. It's tight and it's an off year or whatever that might be. You go, well, that risk is still there. That risk doesn't go away. All the impact's huge. And you know you have an ownership problem, you know you have a visibility problem, then try and figure out a way to kind of get started in that, right?
Yeah, no, you're spot on. It's important that, you know, that cross sampling, and then we hear this all the time. Oh, well, that's just one of our facilities. That's the worst one in our booth. Okay. The rest of them have none of that stuff. It's all, everything is rosy on this side of the fence. That's just the only one that's bad because we bought it from some other organization. It's old and it's not really indicative of the rest of them. you can't really go with that, though. So, no, you're right.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and each of those sites are different. Each of those sites have their own nuances. And each of those sites have mixed equipment, old and legacy and new. And each of those sites have that gap that you need. You know, we talk about that, that think global and act local, that you got to really understand the local. But I think, you know, from the subject of trying to make a case for this, we talk about that, that think global and act local, that you got to really understand the local. But I think from the subject of trying to make a case for this, that's a, it's a great way for a company to get started to say, okay, do we see anything? We've asked the question. We know we have an issue. So let's sample it, right? Let's sample. Let's take one site and go, what does that one site look like? Now we have that quantifiable information. And now you can get your CFOs in there and all your bean counters, and they can extrapolate. Well, geez, if this is here and we're, you know, what's the impact of that financially? Maybe we should be, you know, addressing it. One of the other things I want to touch on is that the executives need to think about is in this whole risk and OT cybersecurity scenario is just the cybersecurity insurance in general, right? Because that's usually the case. We talk about IT and OT all the time. Well, there's sort of that risk management, financial budget owner that's sort of the third leg of the stool. And they get that. They get, well, okay, OT cybersecurity. Hey, while we're talking about risk and we're talking about how much money we should spend, what's that that cybersecurity policy for the company doing? Because sometimes that's removed from the entire conversation, although by a different group. And you start asking them questions about it. And they go, yeah, that policy, I'm not sure what we're filling out. I'm not sure what we're buying. And they're probably not buying the right stuff. And they're probably not answering the question. Oh, and you got to loop that in the whole thing. Yeah. Right?
And well, and part of what I would say on that, and then I want to get back to another thing that came up, is the rates are more than likely going up substantially. Their coverage is more than likely going down. They're probably seeing more and more exclusions if they're able to get coverage based on what their manufacturing environment looks like and the cyber hygiene of, because the insurance companies are getting smarter. They've really taken a hit the last couple of years, and they're beginning to ask those questions of manufacturing clients. And they're not just allowing them to check a box.
Yeah. Because they're not a charity. The insurance companies are around because they make money. They're going to make money on you, right?
Yes, they are. So let's go back. So from an organization, they really have a couple things they can do. One, they can do nothing. They can basically do nothing. I think that's a very poor choice, but that is always a choice. You know, they need to look at what's their loss if the manufacturing doesn't manufacture. You know, somebody, financial analyst for the CFO, they know what their cost of downtime is per hour or per day or whatever their measuring stick is. So if something happened, and they would identify this in a tabletop exercise or whatever, in the event your manufacturing is offline or pick a time frame, 1 day, 3 days, whatever you feel from an organization, your recovery might be. What would that cost be? And then kind of work back into a number of, okay, our, let's call it loss opportunity is X. Okay, so what do we need to do to protect that on the front side?
Right. And I've run large departments and large budgets before. Somebody always comes
up on a bone.
Yeah. Right. And maybe this isn't water. Maybe that's the vodka bottle I have off to the side. And they come up and they go, oh, okay, we need to do this. And I said, well, what are our options? Right. That's going to be the first executive's question. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, so-and-so comes up. I'm not real familiar. And this very intelligent person comes up, puts a case in front of me and says, we need to do this. And I'm always going, well, okay, well, what are our options? And that what you just said is always an option, right? Do nothing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Do nothing. Well, that's an option, guys. I'm not saying it's the right option, but it is an option. We see a lot of companies do that. And go, you know, and then what we see in contrast to that is, all right, what can we do when we start talking about the OT? Wow. Okay. Well, over the last 20 years, we've connected all these machines up and connected to the internet. So that's why we need to protect them. We go, okay, so if we don't need to buy all your OT cybersecurity plan, what do we do with the equipment? You can go, well, you can go backwards and can disconnect everything, but you're going to feel that pain too, right?
Right.
All right. Well, why do we need to go do that? If we have all this old legacy equipment out there, why can't we just go out and just replace all that legacy? We refresh equipment all the time in the IT side. We don't have XP out there, Windows 7. Let's just go out and replace everything. Okay. Well, you can replace everything then, and you're not going to have the money to do anything after that. I mean, that's millions and millions. You're talking machines.
Yeah.
So you're really left with the option of you really need to move forward and reduce some risk, right?
Yes.
And if someone's making the case to an executive, you can present those as options. Look, okay, we can do nothing. We could just let it run and you know all these risks out there, or we can go backwards, disconnect everything, or we can just replace all the legacy equipment, which any financial person is going to go, holy cow, do you know how much those machines cost?
Yeah.
that'll put us in financial ruin. And all right, well, then what's left? Well, what's left is we got to move forward and reduce our risk here, guys.
Well, right? Along that same line, and I heard this yesterday at a conference I was at, is when you're looking at that risk, you need to build in the probability of that happening. What's the probability that that risk is going to occur? And it's not practical to believe that you are going to eliminate every vulnerability in your environment. Physically don't have enough money. You don't have enough time. You don't have enough resources. That is not an option. It's a goal, maybe. But realistically, we need to say, okay, here's once you've done the visibility, once you understand what your risk is, sit down, prioritize, say, okay, here's our top 3, 5, 10 things that are the most costly, the most riskiest, whatever that criteria is. Here's a game plan, a roadmap for 6 months, 1 year, 3 years, long term, over 5 years, and really begin determining what that looks like. But it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. This is a long haul.
Yeah.
Organizations forget that.
Right. And that's a great point with the risk management, right? So there's a risk management group out there. They have a risk management process. Maybe it is part of the CFO. Maybe you have an entire group out there, which is the likelihood. But they have a risk register from a business side too, right?
Yeah.
And that this needs to be part of it. Cybersecurity is probably on it. For most companies, I hope that it is, you know, for the top 10. And if you read like public statements now, or the public reports, I forget, you know, they're required to put something in there about the cybersecurity. Right. Cybersecurity is a real business risk. What's missing, and that's where you kind of have to leverage that and go, okay, are we doing the same thing with the OT cybersecurity and the risk management and take that same approach, right? Because cybersecurity is getting funded because the business does realize that that is a risk. Well, how do they realize that? Well, they did some math behind it on what's that impact, and they know that that's real. You need to do the same thing for the OT cybersecurity and go, okay, in addition to cybersecurity, OT cybersecurity is becoming more and more of a risk as these threats evolve, as technology comes up, is connected, as new technology comes in, as the legacy technology gets older, those risks are increasing. So that needs to make your risk register. If you've got one, if you don't have one, well, then good luck. Right. You should have a business risk register, whether how formal or informal that process is, that should be on there. And that's going to give that executive visibility to where they, you know, go, ruh-roh, raggy, right?
Yes, exactly.
Did I get it right? Ruh-roh, raggy.
Yeah. And that register could go anything from we accept that risk because it's low and it's marginal to that is an immediate funding and a priority for the organization. And we will move with that within the next quarter or whatever their time windows are.
Right.
And because everything in between.
Yeah, if it's not an immediate, well, it'll become an immediate when they do have a
failure. Will. we've seen all those memes. Cybersecurity budget before breach, zero. Cybersecurity budget after breach, here's a blank check. Fill in what you want.
Right.
So, you don't want to be in that situation.
Yeah, and that, you know, and that's the message to the executives as you're building the case, right? Because executives are focused on creating value for the business, right?
True.
And this is protecting value for the business case. I still believe, and I think we've done some on the actual, there's actually bringing value to with these tool sets from an operational standpoint, operational resilience, yeah. OE, that kind of thing. But, you know, to get the attention, to get the executives, to build that case, to get moving, you know, that's the perspective that they need. They need to know this is a real business risk, guys, yeah. And we need to start addressing it before this happens, because what's the mantra in cybersecurity? It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when.
Right. Yeah, and you don't want to be trying to do this in the middle of an incident. That is the absolute worst time to try and figure it out. Your team is focused on other stuff. And, you know, there are tools out there. I know that on our website, we have a budget tool, if you want to call it that, where we have a work paper or a worksheet that just gives a talking points of some of the things that we just went through of where should you start? What are some things to think about, to consider that kind of helps build that case, that whether that be the operational team or the IT team that's responsible for security, to begin putting things on paper and escalating it up within the organization to build that case. You know, it's not rocket science unless maybe they're making rockets, and they could be rocket science, but...
Right, right. So before we wrap up, I want to throw one other thing that's out there that I've had that kind of resonates on a few different sides, and it's a term called technology debt. Right. And the IT guys understand technology debt, right? They go, okay, you can't let the debt overwhelm you, because then you're in for a major overhaul, right? This is what they've learned over the decades. Oh, well, XP and then Windows 7. So they have these refresh cycles, right? And the life cycle's a lot different, but they're really focused on avoiding technology debt. Well, I like to play that term onto the OT side and say, well, you have a lot of technology debt because you're running equipment out there for 20 years. Now, the model's different because it's a major, major investment for a business to buy some of these machine setters and equipment and plants. But, you know, I would say to the executives and go, well, you've been living on technology debt because you already got a lot of the payment out because you put in equipment that had and you... You retrieve the efficiencies out of that automation,
yes,
but you never paid for the security when you brought it in, right?
Totally agreed. Yeah,
I mean, it's more of a conceptual, and you can put money to it. But if you know, folks out there got they have some sort of process to account for technology debt, that it's a great way to kind of communicate that, right?
Yeah.
Well, that efficiency with this automation, that's where you make money, but you didn't do everything that you should have done, right?
Well, it's kind of like my automobile. I bought a car, I've got 345,000 miles on it, and all I've done is tires, brakes, gas, and oil, and it was depreciated 100% 15 years ago. So it's been paid for over and over. You look at these OT machines that are 20, 30, 40 years old that are fully depreciated. They value that, and they've not done anything with it except continue to use it. So
is your hoopty? Is that what you're referring to? Does that even have seat belts in it anymore?
No more.
No,
I cut those out immediately.
I'll just reiterate. I've said it before. You got to get started. One of the things with making a case, remember to talk to the executive at the executive level. Make sure that they understand the impact, the ownership. And, you know, if you're a multi-site, think about carving one out and showing real quantifiable issues that you have at a facility that is going to speak much stronger to an executive to build that business case when you have real examples in your actual plant that are risk, and you're not just talking abstractly about the possibility of it. You can say, here are some things going on right now. We need to fix those, and we need to find out whether they're in the rest of the organization. And that is a great way to build that case, right?
It's always more powerful with your own data. 100%. Yeah.
So I'll do the official wrap up sign off then. How about that? So,
all right, deal.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for joining us on this episode of What Are We Talking About Today, right? It's the case for building OT cybersecurity budget. Thanks again and look forward to joining in our next episode.
Thanks for tuning in to the Industrial Cybersecurity Insider Podcast. To stay up to date with our latest episodes, be sure to click the follow or subscribe button now. And if you found this podcast helpful or have a topic you'd like us to cover, please leave us a review or let us know. If you're interested in learning more about Velta technology and how you can get safer sooner, visit veltatech.com. That's VeltaTech.com. Thanks again for listening. See you next time.